Welcome back to episode 5 of the Verde Podcast.
Every week we talk to local business leaders and entrepreneurs to understand the real story that doesn't make it to the spotlight, but is how actual businesses are actually built here in Chicago. Today we have Tom Decker, who's the founder of Chicago Green Insulation. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie. I appreciate you having me.
Tom and I have known each other for many, many years and have followed each other along the entrepreneurial journey, and I think we're both still kicking, so that's good, right?
That's it. Yeah. You know, there's something to be said for making it beyond the two-year mark and then the three-year mark, and I'm at almost a decade in foam.
Wow.
What are you at this point?
Verde's about 8 years old right now.
So that's why it's such a similar path in terms of timing. I think I'm closer to 9 than I am to 10 total years.
Yeah, yeah. And each year has its own wrinkle and ulcer that we've both inherited along the way. So
yeah, and I mean, I keep a smile on my face because it's fun.
Yeah.
I also keep a smile on my face when it's not fun.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to be around frowny, angry, miserable people. But entrepreneurship's it's the right pathway for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that sense from the first time I met you that you were a trailblazer. So tell me a little bit about Chicago Green Insulation, why you started it, what gave you the idea, and what kind of motivated you to take it from an idea to an actual business?
So, as I said, I've been in foam for somewhere between 9 and 10 years. When I got into foam, I was a sales guy, and I learned the nuances, ins and outs, and all the technical stuff. And I did that for two other organizations for about 4.5 years. What was awesome about that is I really got the opportunity to help create and participate in creating ultra energy efficient single family homes, multifamily homes, businesses. Got to learn a lot about the chemical manufacturers, got to learn a lot about the equipment manufacturers, got to know the movers and shakers, the peers, the individuals that when I grow up I want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 years ago, I sat up in bed one night and realized that I had neglected to participate in embracing the first 25 years of my professional life, which is something you and I have certainly talked about, but involving individuals with learning disabilities, involving individuals who have been rejected either directly by society or have chosen to be away from the rest of society because of learning differences and social differences and those sorts of things. And so when I formed Chicago Green Insulation, I formed it from its outset to be a social enterprise to create employment opportunities, embracing those individuals who've run afoul of the law, embracing those individuals who may not verbally or physically represent themselves as somebody that you want to be next to, but have a good heart and a good head on their shoulders.
Hmm. So going back a little bit, when I know you said you were at two other foam companies.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of really drove you, instead of going, because salespeople are hard to come by, and I'm sure you could have made a lot of money going to work for one of these other peers you admired, what really drove you to start your own company versus just you?
I was frustrated with the compromises that I was forced to make when I wasn't the guy signing the paychecks. You know as well as I do that there's a lot of stress that comes along with signing the paychecks,
mm-hmm.
but you really get to decide where the can of corn goes in the kitchen and which drawer is going to have the silverware in it and, you know, where the stove is going to be oriented in the kitchen. And that's what entrepreneurship offers you, the access to being with that total freedom and total responsibility. My wife regularly comments that it must be nice not to have a boss. And I respond, I wouldn't know. And she's like, well, you own the company. And I'm like, yeah, and every client's my boss.
Right.
Every employee is my boss.
Right.
So I don't see myself as above them. And I also don't want to ever neglect the value that I can learn and offer across the board.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a little bit of a different motivation, but I remember after I started the company and we didn't really do much for a year or two. We were doing some software things, which you remember. And I remember Chuck Templeton talking about how entrepreneurs are often really terrible employees. And I look back at all the different careers I had and I'm pretty sure my boss has always hated me. You know, like I was a good employee in some ways, but in often ways I was always bucking the system and creating problems. And so it kind of felt good once I could settle into that role of like, okay, I'm an entrepreneur. That's who apparently I've been my whole life. I wasn't just a bad employee. I just was kind of weird in my own way. And
square peg in a round hole?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So. The residential camp where I worked for 15 years, Ramapo Anchorage Camp in Rhinebeck, New York, my mentor and the executive director of the camp, Bernie Cosberg, and I had a number of conversations about how residential programs where you're dealing with non-textbook situations and the answers are incumbent upon a creative, thoughtful process that does not, generally speaking, lend itself to a correct answer on the first, second, third, or even fourth or fifth try.
Yeah.
When you experience those sorts of things and you understand that your reality is in your hands, I always said that Ramapo made great worker or great problem solvers and lousy employees.
Yeah.
Because we're quick to identify what those challenges are, and the way that I very much believe that it forces us to be responsible for the solution as well, because that was Bernie's rule: is if you identify a problem, you own the solution.
Yeah.
And he was incredibly serious about soup to nuts. You've got to go out and figure out why it's happening, what's going on, what are the reasons that was the way it was being done, and then why we need to go to option A, B, C, or D. Okay. And then what you were going to do to make A, B, C, and D happen.
Right. Yeah, that kind of thinking doesn't always fit into today's corporate culture or where I came from, which was, you know, municipal government. Usually you could even come up with a solution and they're not going to let you do it anyway. So it
well, and that's the conversation that I'm currently engaging with your old colleague, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about how you were incredibly adept at the adrenaline aspects of responding in a very kind and very competent and very professional way, and that the organization was lesser as a result of you not being around, though he knew in you that you were bigger than the hole that you were fitting into. So he knew you were headed on to bigger and better things a long time ago, he said.
Yeah, well. He continues to say nice things even though he shouldn't about me. what are some of your favorite parts about running your business? And what is unique about your company and what is kind of unique about your style? You already talked a little bit about the special attention you give to unique individuals and kind of working them into your business model. But what are your favorite parts?
I love the hiring process that we've created. I feel like it's unique. We offer paid interviews. So you make $13 an hour for 8 hours, and the actual interview process is not a resume and sitting across the desk from myself or one of my supervisors. It's actually a phone screen that covers the core competencies of what we're looking for, that based upon the results of that phone screen, you're invited out for an 8-hour working interview. And that 8 hours is paid, and if you make it through the first day, you get invited to a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth day. And that the actual decision on whether or not you're extended an offer of full-time employment is the crew. Even if the most junior guy on that crew, the Friday before you came in on Monday, was his first day.
Hmm.
And the look in people's eyes when I explain that the hiring is done by the crew, they're amazed. And then you get that buy-in when it comes to their production and their teamwork, because there is no I in team.
Right.
Your most experienced, your most senior individual, and your weakest link, you're only as good as that weakest link.
So I'm going to steal that idea, Tom. It's a really, because we actually we'll do a sit-down interview where we talk to them, or we'll go to a career fair. Often we go to like Coyne College where they have electrical graduates coming out of that program, and it's a brilliant idea because we could like them all day long, but if they don't work well with the team, then there's no.
Well, and that's where it came from. I mean, I had half a dozen different men who I thought were just going to be rock stars that didn't make it to 10 a.m. on their first day.
Yeah, calling in.
I mean, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And this model really takes that off and takes the pressure off. You know, you have a gap in your resume doesn't mean that you're a failure and miserable. You have come through drug and alcohol treatment or other sorts of challenges doesn't mean that you're judged based upon that. We certainly work to maintain a clean, drug-free environment. Everybody's subject to all the drug testing and all of that. But your shortcomings and failures don't have to define you. Yeah. We talk a lot about how the next several chapters of your life are going to be awesome because we're going to collaborate together to deliver the finest spray foam insulation in the finest way. And then the other piece that's unique is at the end of the job, my guys pull out a stencil and they spray paint onto the foam, and they sign their names the same way the individuals that created the Stradivarius violins sign their names to the inside of those violins.
Cool.
Because I want them to have pride in something that no one in our lifetime may ever see again.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's really cool. That's it's nice to see you inspiring pride in work, because it's not something that always happens today.
Our mission statement as Chicago Green Insulation is by the year 2027, we want the city of Chicago to be the safest and most energy efficient city in the world. And I cannot get there by myself. Mm. I am only going to get there as a result of the community that I'm fortunate enough to be a member of and the changes that are going on, because the bloodshed that occurs in the streets of the city of Chicago today does not have to be what happens tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If every small business out there had one or two more awesome participants on their team, and those individuals, instead of standing on a street corner, could be at home in bed with money in the bank and a home that they owned, they wake up the next morning, put the kids on the bus, go off to work, and nobody dies.
Yeah. Yeah, we got quite a mess here in the city. And there's not enough people trying to fix it, that's for sure.
Well, I think there's plenty of people trying to fix it. I think that the ideas that are on the table are limited. One of my clients, his daughter worked for the MacArthur Foundation, and they did a side-by-side study where they dedicated several million dollars to mentoring and after-school programs and all kinds of resources for one community, and then nothing to the next community, and tracked what the outcomes were for various at-risk individuals and found only a marginal advantage to the side that they put the money in. And when they went back and dissected what happened and why it happened, came back and said, it's not about any of those things. Those things are awesome. It's about jobs.
Yeah.
You got to have a job, and not just a job standing at a counter, which may in fact be what you want. Okay, then you need a job standing at a counter.
Yeah.
But something where you can not only contribute in a high-quality way, but feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I don't remember the stats, but the unemployment of African-American men in Chicago that are in their 20s and 30s is, I remember it was staggering, whatever it was, close to 50%, I believe. And that's, you know, so it's inspiring to hear business owners or a business owner thinking that part of the solution is providing good quality jobs, which is obvious, and yet I don't hear people talking about it very often.
WBEZ did a study with the University of Chicago where, I'm going to be a little vague on the numbers because I don't have it in front of me, but it was something in the neighborhood of 6,000 young men between the ages of 16 and 28 caused 90% of the violence on the streets of Chicago.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about employing those 6,000. I'm talking about employing those other individuals so that those 6,000 start to see that there's an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't offer jobs to the ones that don't want it. I offer it to the ones that want out.
And then give them an opportunity, right? Yeah, that's cool. Segue a bit, you know, just to move on to keep it focused on, you know, you and I have a passion for social enterprise, which we could talk about all day long, and we have. What is the most challenging time you recall in running your business? The last years that you've been doing this, what stands out as the single most challenging time?
How to get somebody to do something as well or better than you would. I mean, I'm I'm pretty humble when it comes down to it. I've been lucky. I've got a good work ethic. I know a great community of people. I've certainly participated in creating those things. But finding salespeople that have that same level of enthusiasm and want to go out there and understand it. And that's the conversation we were having just before the podcast started.
Yeah.
You know, how to identify somebody who is going to have the technical savvy as well as the get up and go.
Yeah, it's a big challenge for sure.
Yeah.
And we talked about where you find those people and how you motivate them properly. I mean, there's great salespeople out there, but, you know, they're making six figures for some, you know, big company, and it's hard for us to pay that, for a small business to pay something like that.
And then on the install side, I use the story of my buddy in North Dakota who simply has a spray foam insulation gun like the one that I'm about to hand you here. And his job for the last 25 years has been spraying foam insulation using a gun just like that one you're holding.
Mm.
And he earns $100,000 a year. He works 4 days a week. He works four 12-hour days. He gets 4 months a year off. Gets car, health insurance, retirement, all paid for with no contribution required from him. And all he does is pull the trigger. So I don't have jobs like that I can offer. But when I start talking about somebody coming into this, there's 500,000 jobs nationwide being created to install foam over the next 5 years.
That's crazy. I read a book recently. I'll try to put a link up to it. But it talks about the growth of the business and that really, like, a lot of the business will ride the strengths of the owner up until a certain point. And I don't remember if that was $1 million of revenue annually or if it was 20 employees or what the metric was. But it sounds like, I've known you for a long time, your strength of sales, you can sell anything, and that's the best quality of an entrepreneur, I think, in my experience, is to be able to communicate the vision and drive the sales, because that's what drives business. Once you go to a certain point, though, then this book talked about how then you have to rely on the owner stepping out of their strength, and that's the even harder part to accelerate.
Right, and the owner stepping out of their strength or pairing themselves with others who have the strengths that you don't have to allow you to continue to pursue that strength and mentor others into
yes.
that strength.
Yeah.
And that's the transition that I'm currently in the process of working on.
Yeah, you kind of hire for your weakness in the beginning, and then after that you hire for your to complement your strengths, and it's they're both hard. Neither one is easy. Hiring people is not easy, and growing companies not easy.
But. Yeah, if you go online and look at the Google reviews of Tom Decker at Chicago Green Insulation, you see all of these different people who've had me in their house. What I'm looking for is to get somebody that reports to me to have those same sorts of reviews about them
yeah.
with the quality of the work done on the backside.
It's a challenge. I look forward to sitting down with you in a year or two and hear about the few folks you hired that did replace that. So tell me a little bit about your experience in making sustainability a priority in your business. And how does it affect, we were talking a little bit about your Prius that you've had since, you know, the beginning of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And just give me a quick brief thing. I know your entire core value you offer customers is a very sustainable product, but internally, how do you think about sustainability?
So I see sustainability and environmental stewardship as well as economic opportunity all tied together. We're standing here in my shop around the corner from the Tesla dealership, and I don't drive or own a Tesla. It's not that I could afford one if I had the money in the bank. Not that I'd want one if I had the money in the bank or currently could afford one. I see this as a modern every person opportunity, because the foam insulation at market rate does a great job for single family homes of any size. Where I get most excited is where we can do this in a way that a Chicago bungalow is owned for, you know, $80,000 to $100,000 with a near net zero utility bill, and that individual at $13 to $15 an hour starting out, going up $20, $25, $30 an hour, is working for me or you or somebody else. So they're creating generational wealth. So I see all of those things tied together, and I think we're at a unique crossroads with the Obama Presidential Center coming and all the economic opportunity that that's going to create.
Well, Tom, as always, wonderful talking to you. Thanks for being on our episode, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.